You know, one thing, if you get a chance just to read that, I started this group with my son. We invited 100 kids to come to my house. 30 of them showed up, which is a great number, on their own, mostly gang kids, Puerto Rican and Mexican. And we decided to build an independent organization because they were going through the same thing. They got gang lists. Every Mexican and black in the schools are in the gang list. They don't even have to be gang members. Just by having virtue of dark skin, they put them on gang lists. So we had this meeting. And my whole thing was, okay, you do it now. I'm an adult. I've been there. I'll help you. Because they were asking us, show us the ropes. But they wanted to do it. It's youth-directed, youth-empowered organization. They did a conference in August. They did weekend retreats. They involved other gang kids. They did a conference in August all by themselves in which more than 100 young people did show up from all over the city. They did it themselves with no money. No resources. And now they meet every week. Like I said, they got all this other components and everything. And what I decided to do is, you know, I would help them get more organized. I involved more adults. But the adults, I told them this. We had meetings with all adults. Says, you're not going to run this group. And you're not going to tell these kids what to do. But you know something. Help them. Guide them. But let the kids run it. And I think that might be something to take into account. I don't know how to go about it. You all know the situation best. You live here, but I would say have a situation where the young people themselves can have some authority, some ownership over what's going on. In order for them to really be responsible, they have to first believe that they matter. You can't be responsible if you don't think you matter. And second of all, you got to have some authority. They're feeling, you know what, I'm responsible because I have authority. I'm responsible for this. I will take care of this. And all the schools, if they began to start doing this, giving part of that schooling to the kids, I'm serious. I believe in the youth. They'll make it work. You talk to enough of them, they'll give you 10,000 answers for every rotten thing going on in society the youth have an answer for. And I really think that that's the way to go. Give it to them, and the adults should help them. They need adults. They need mentors. They need people who will be there and guide them and help them, not to tell them what to do, not to do it. They need adults in their lives, but give them that power. I picked it up in the LA Times, and you know, funny, that both sides were told, but the kid's side of the story was completely different. That was the other guy's side. And you got to put him in a law court. But they wouldn't even do that. They already decided that his word was more valuable than their word, even though they were the ones that were shot. So, yeah, I would question that just his word alone would do it. How much time do I have? Okay, let me do a couple of questions because you know what? There's some books. We can do some signing. We can talk some more. But I do want to have a couple more questions so we can close up here. Yeah. No. Oh, and it was found justified too, right?
Yeah,
I did read about that. Okay. Let me get one more, and then I want to read that poem, The Facts of Life. One more. Let me get you. Go ahead. Well, because money can't buy the kind of problems that these kids are living. And I tell you, man, kids are all suffering something. And part of the reason why is they don't really feel that the future has anything to do with them. And if they can't envision a future, it's hard for them to feel that they're part of it. And you know, I tell you something, I do think that there is a class society in the society, and I've seen it. But I don't think that it helps anybody, even the kids who happen to be from upper classes. It hurts them. I'm not really having to defend them because they got a lot of help for their problems. Our kids don't get it. I went to Bryn Mawr, Pennsylvania, and did a week-long residency at one of the most wealthiest communities in this country. There was five private schools that I spoke to. Now, the kids were great. They were all white kids. They were great. And no problem with the kids. But the school, their parents had to pay $17,000 a year for them to get there. And you know there was not one drop, 100% success rate, 100% college entrance rate. And I will tell you that those kids aren't any better, any worse, any more creative, any more intelligent than our kids in this community. But the difference is that they had help. They go into problems, they get help. They get into drugs. A lot of them have alcoholism problems. Alcoholism is really big, as you probably know, among middle-class kids. Big problem. A lot of drugs, LSD, everything. But they can get help. They will succeed. Our kids, they're expecting to fail. And there's two kind of pressures that we're dealing with here. So I think, yeah, we have to look at the kind of world we're in where our kids are already decided ahead of time, you're not going to make it. We're barely fighting for empowerment for our kids. Those kids are beyond empowerment. They feel entitled. And they get what they want in this world. We have to fight every bit of it. Let me just end with the poem, because I think it is a good poem. It's a poem that I wrote for President Clinton during the inaugural. When, you know, Maya Angelou did an inaugural poem, and the nation had asked several poets to write one, and this is my poem. And there's a kind of an interesting story behind this. I read this poem to 2,000 people in Chicago in 93 in June. That day before I read it, the police had beaten up my son pretty badly. He was handcuffed on the ground. He was already saying, I'm not resistant, because I always told him to do this. Didn't matter. They beat him up anyway. And the bad thing about it is that had almost 20 years before to the day, I was beaten up the same way by the police. I was so mad. So when I read this poem, I was really angry, and I let these people have it. And then the Letter X, which is a Chicago newspaper for poets, they wrote an attack calling this an unpatriotic poem. So, I don't know. But anyway, I'll let you figure that out, then I'll just read it. It's called The Facts of Life to President Bill Clinton. Let me tell you the facts of life from beneath the tattered coat of my country. This country whose soul has died long before the body. This country which is blurry-eyed from lack of dreaming yet full of sleep. This country which is inebriated with guilt and false grinning. This country which is a beggar's song slithering through city veins. This country which is night pouring over the crevices on the face of day. This country of laughter and illumination across the ocean of lies where we drown. This country of winter's breath gusting across a swollen star-spangled sky. This country which dances without a beat in constant searching, constant rupturing. This country with seeds that is hungry and limps with ambiguity. This country satiated with sweet colors, odors and colors, yet stenched in scrawl with race hatred. This country where the road from hope to hope must pass beyond expectation, beyond class privilege. This country whose penitent is waiting at the corner of fury and fire. This country where every promise must be rendered, every dream made flesh. This country where all that's left is to act, and my country will act if you won't. Thank you very much. Thank you.